Just a heads up, the Razzball Baseball Podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised.
Hi, it's Nick. The Major League Baseball trade deadline is this week, so we thought, you know, we should cover it. Actually, when we had our podcast meeting this week, the options were MLB trade deadline or an update on the Cougars' wedding dress shopping. Wait, if she's wearing white, what's Gray going to wear? Eggshell? Cloud white? Devil's dandruff? Yeah, there you go. It's a special presentation of Say Yes to the Dress from your fantasy draft. I can hear the people at TLC getting fired as we speak. Speaking of marriages made in heaven, we figure we couldn't do a deadline show without talking bullpens. So we're throwing Smokey and Tom Jacks into a steel cage and seeing whether the stoner or the environmental lobbyist comes out alive. In the green corner, weighing in at 3,489 ounces, Smokey McPot. Actually, I don't think the smoker would do well in a steel cage. I mean, too passive, right? Besides, shouldn't they be teaming up? I mean, environmental lobbying, isn't that code for legalized pot? I mean, who lobbied in Colorado and Washington? I'm smelling opportunity here. I think Tom and Smokey should open up a chain of pot cafes. Smokey and Tom's kind of has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Actually, Tom's going to kill me. Seriously, though, Tom is the most clean-cut guy at Razzball. Don't associate him with me or Smokey. His only mistake was, of course, taking the job at Razzball. Anyway, so we'll do that. Also, we'll say hi to our main man, JB, today with the Daily Fantasy Report. And we'll say hi to our main man, JB, today with the Daily Fantasy Report. All that plus Gray Albright and Rudy Gamble. Yep, they're both here today. Well, Gray will be on his cell phone from the Bridal Boutique, but technically he'll be here. From the offcolorweddingdresses.com studio, it's the Razzball Podcast for the week of July 29th. Here we go. With, again, the trade deadline coming up, we will talk bullpens with Smokey McPot and the environmental lobbyist, Mr. Tom Jacks. This is starting to get kind of a WWE feel, you know? We all got, like, nicknames and, you know, the environmental lobbyist, you know? How's it going, Tom?
Okay, Nick.
Yeah, Tom loves coming on the show now.
I don't know. Just to remember, I'm in Chicago. I'm not in Portland or Seattle right now.
That's fair. And Smokey, welcome to the bullpen steel cage deathmatch.
Hey, what's going on, Nick? What's up, Tom?
Hey, Smokey.
Okay, guys, so what we're going to do, I'm going to throw out some bullpens that may or may not be in flux come trade deadline, which is happening this week, and you guys can fight over it. So, Smokey, let me start with you. Let's talk San Diego Padres bullpen. What do you see happening over there?
San Diego's in a complete purge mode here. They're gonna get rid of pretty much every viable arm in their bullpen, I think. I don't think Street's going to get traded. I think when he signed that deal with them, I think they wanted to build around him as their closer. I think Gregerson is the first guy to go. And I think that with the trade that just went down a couple of minutes ago, Scott Downs to the Braves, I think Joe Thatcher is probably the best left-hander on the market right now.
Interesting. Tom, what do you think? Any objections to that?
You know, I like Gregerson too, and I could see him being traded as well. I don't know where. Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts right now with Jose Veras also going to the Tigers recently too. So I don't know. I think Dale Thayer, you know, has a shot there too. But until then, Gregerson should get the job.
Okay, Tom, let me stick with you. Let's talk Phillies, because one of the biggest names in bullpens or in the closer circuit, obviously, Papelbon may or may not be on the move. What do you think is going to happen in Philadelphia?
Yeah, I think Papelbon's going to get out of there. He started, you know, implying that he wanted to be traded. He doesn't like the direction of the team. And, you know, you certainly don't want that from one of your players, especially one of your clubhouse leaders. So, you know, I think he'll get traded sooner rather than later. And the only guy I can think of is Antonio Bastardo, whose name doesn't really sound any better in Spanish.
Smokey, what do you think? You think Papelbon is going to be gone?
No, I think he stays. I think the contract is pretty much unmovable.
I agree.
And the Phillies, not next year, the year after, which is the second to last year of Papelbon's deal, are basically going to get a huge money insert because they have a new TV contract kicking in.
Okay.
And I agree with Tom that the Bastardo is the option if Papelbon does get traded.
All right, fair enough. Smokey, sticking with you, talk to me what's going to happen in Baltimore. They're talking they might even move Bundy in the right deal. They're in contention. What happens to the Orioles bullpen?
I think they're going to maybe pick up a side piece, nothing huge. Something like a short right, like a left, maybe a left-hander, because O'Day can't pitch to everybody.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
But I think Johnson and K-Rod split the last innings, but Johnson still had the job.
Tom, what do you think about Baltimore?
Yeah, I think Johnson has the job right now, but, he should keep it as long as he doesn't make Rodriguez angry. You don't want to make him angry. So I think Johnson's the better guy, but, if he falters, I wouldn't be surprised to see them switch to K-Rod.
All right, Tom, let me stick with you. Talk to me about your hometown Cubs, who are amassing tons of talent, but they're obviously giving everybody away. What do you think what's going to happen in Chicago on the north side?
Yeah, I believe 100% that Greg's going to be traded this week. CEO has indicated the guys who aren't in the long-term plan and whose contract doesn't go beyond this year are pretty much going to be traded. Pedro Strop is the guy I like. James Russell's also pretty good there, but I could see Russell also getting traded. I think it's going to be between those two guys, but I'm leaning towards Strope right now. He's been on fire lately.
Smokey, what do you think about that?
Yeah, if Greg gets traded, Strope is definitely the guy in there. And then they have a guy in the minors that's pretty much lights out right now, a guy named Frank Batista. I think if the Cubs really want to see what he's got, I think he'll come up and they might thrust him right into the role, because I think Russell's going to be gone as well.
Okay, so Smokey, you think Varus is the guy now in Detroit, correct?
Varus, no, Benoit's still going to close.
Okay, so where do you see... Okay, that's interesting. So you think Varus is going to set up?
Yeah, for now. Right, if the game was today and they're playing right now, I think Benoit is still the guy, because Leland is such a habitual bullpen guy, and he doesn't know what Varus has yet, so I think they're going to ease him back. They'll ease him in until Benoit, stumbles.
Yeah.
But Benoit can't go on back-to-back days either. He still has that limitation.
When you said Leland is such a habitual was not the next word I expected out of your mouth.
Yeah. Habitual line stepping.
Tom, you agree? Is Benoit the closer in Detroit rest of season?
No. Yeah, I agree that Leland is something that I probably shouldn't say right now. But I think he'll switch out, switch in Varus and switch out Benoit probably in the next month or so. I don't think it'll be immediate, but kind of agree with Smokey that if Benoit falters, Varus should, get the job.
All right. And then, Tom, give me one last bullpen here. Talk to me what's going to happen in Miami with the Marlins.
Yeah, I think, if anything were to happen to Steve Cishek with, being traded, I really like A.J. Ramos there. I know Mike Dunn is also there, and he's pretty good, but, he's a lefty, and I feel like managers sometimes don't like lefty closers as much, and Ramos is a righty, so that's a little advantage there.
Yeah, I see the logic there. What do you think on that, Smokey?
I read that he's not. I don't think they want to trade him because he's they have him cheap till 2017. But if he does, AJ Ramos is definitely the guy to cuff him with.
Okay, interesting. Last quick question for each of you guys, Tom. How was the trip to Bolivia earlier this summer?
Oh, it was fantastic. There's fantastic scenery. Food, the people. It's a completely different world. But being 2.5 miles above sea level, that's a different experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Hard to breathe, I think.
Yep. They have a whole industry that just sells oxygen to tourists.
And then, Smokey, just quickly back over to you. I'm sure you know about needing oxygen from time to time. How was your trip to Trenton?
Oh, Trenton is fantastic. You get a nice little train ride. You got the beautiful scenery of Jersey. Oh, it's breathtaking. It's like Spain, but without the accident.
Gentlemen, listen, I really appreciate you joining me. We will definitely be following this. Of course, you can follow Tom at VoteTomJax on Twitter if there's any bullpen situations. I'm off of it, guys. This steel cage death match, just threw me off. And then, Smokey, remind me again your Twitter handle, because it changes more often than I change my socks.
No, it's the same. It's Smokey McPot. SMOKEEMACPOT. It's the Scottish version of Nickpot because I had to change it.
Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
The Daily Fantasy Sports Report.
Brought to you by DraftKings.com. Of course, you can follow them at DraftKings on Twitter. And you can also follow my man Big Biscuit at JB Gilpin, G-I-L-P-I-N. JB is here with his weekly Daily Fantasy Report. JB, welcome to the Razzball Podcast, my man. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to be back. Barely finished out of the money last week, but hey, I missed checking my lineup because I had to buy a car last Friday. My last one blew up.
Well, had you won one of the big contests, you could have bought a really nice car.
Exactly. That's what I'm going for. But unfortunately, now I'm just playing to make up car payments.
No, you're paying for the fun of it all, man. I love playing Daily Fantasy. I'm actually quite hooked on it now. It's everything I like about fantasy and all the tactical strategies that I put together, and I get to do it every day. And, you know, I can actually win some dough for it. So it's flipping awesome.
Yeah, for sure. Especially if you're a baseball fan, your team's out of the race and you want to play for something where you actually have some, you know, money that you stand to win. And it's just good because you get closure on if you did good or bad on one day, especially with my articles picks. And luckily I was middle of the road this time, not terrible.
But you know what I really like doing with it, JB? Like, occasionally my wife will be like, hey, look, sorry, last minute, I can't be here tonight. I'm like, okay, no problem. So what I'll do is I'll get in a quick game because I know for the whole evening I can flip through games and watch my players. So for guys who don't have as much time like myself, that's one of the things that really excites me, and I really get into with the Daily Fantasy.
Yeah, stuff, don't so. Lie. You were doing something else when your wife left.
No, man. I'm 36 years old, brother, and I have a 3-year-old, so... That my excitement is, there's two things in my life that are exciting aside from my family. One is doing this podcast. The other is getting a little fantasy action on, whether it's daily or full season. So that's pretty much what I do.
I thought you were going to say fantasy on, whether it be sports or otherwise.
Okay, let's talk about the contest this week, because we are on Fridays playing play with Rudy from Razzball, every Friday night at DraftKings.com. $5 to get in. You can play up to 2 spots per person. And the $100,000 sweet spot is coming up with a $20,000 winner. That'll buy you a nice car. So you can win that. It's a $100 entry, and you can win it this Friday in the Rudy from Razzball contest, correct?
Yes, sir. Top winner gets that. Spots 2 through 10 double up their money. Like I said, last week I was 12th, and I was leading for a while, but I couldn't check my lineup. I had Joe Maurer in, who was still on paternity leave. I knew that was a question mark, but that was my own fault. Stuck at the car dealership, but for this week, I'll be back in there. For pitchers I like this week, I like Ubaldo. You know, he came off a pretty good start last time out. He's going to be pitching at Miami, obviously a great place to pitch, a lot of strikeout potential there. And another guy I like is Jim Lincecum, pitching against the Rays at Tampa Bay, so still a good place to pitch. I think both guys have K upside, will be cheaper. You can spend money on hitters.
All right, beauty. So get in there Friday night. Remember, you can only get the link. This is just for Razzballers. Your best chance to not only win money, but it's a very small contest. If you want the opportunity to win tickets into the big contest, Wednesday's posts go up at Razzball.com. Look at JB's picture there. Click that, and it'll take you through to the DraftKings login. JB, just before we wrap this up, just want to also quickly announce, we probably should have put this under housekeeping, but nonetheless, for the footballers out there, and we will talk a lot of DraftKings come football season, but for the footballers out there, the RCLs, the Razzball Commentators Leagues for Football, are launching this week at Razzball.com. Click on football. Get in there, and you can kick all of our asses.
Yep, I'm organizing them this year. I'll have my own JB's RCL League that'll be up and ready to join. It'll launch by the time you're listening to this, and if there's still any spots left, you can play against me, and I'll be posting about the mock draft, and we're really excited for another big RCL season.
All right, buddy. Thanks so much for joining us, JB. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, man. Have a good one, Nick.
Getting to know Gray.
And now we are joined by Gray. Of course, Rudy was also supposed to join us, but apparently some sort of sniffles again. We got to get this guy some echinacea.
Yeah, it's he spends more time on his hair than he does on his health.
I thought Jerry Curl was a quick application.
Are you kidding me? It's quick, but then you have so many things you have to worry about it touching. It becomes really stressful. And as we know, stress really lowers your immune system.
That's you know what? You're right. That's a very good point.
Yeah. It's like, oh, don't put your hair on the priceless artwork. Ah!
See, I eat so much hot Italian peppers that I'm just chock full of vitamin C. It's tough to make me sick.
Oh, man. I had my first Steak and Shake experience this weekend.
Oh, yeah? What'd you think?
It was actually really good. I got to be honest. It was damn delicious. I think it was the best meal I had in Indiana, which isn't saying much, but it was good.
You know, it's funny. Of all the big national burger chains, you know, obviously there's a big trend right now with the burger restaurants. I've had In-N-Out. Excuse me. It was okay. To me, of all those high-end burger joints, it's tough to beat Five Guys. Just my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, I like Five Guys. I'm not actually really a burger person. I can take it or leave it with In-N-Out. I've had maybe a handful. Like, literally, I've had probably five times in the last 10 years. So I'm not a huge fan. Steak and Shake was good. And they go against common perception that you're not supposed to flatten the meat on the grill. Like, they really press the shit out of the meat, and that's supposedly the way you're not supposed to do it, because it pushes out all the juices. I don't know, that's what I've seen Guy Ferrari say.
No, I'm with you 100%, and it's funny because you ever watch the show Undercover Boss?
Yeah.
By the way, we're waiting for you to come do that here at the Razzball Studios.
Hey, who's this intern with this luscious mustache? I'm just here moving boxes, and I don't sound anything like Gray.
But I was watching Undercover Boss, and the guy, or the CEO, or whatever, I don't remember, it was a while ago, but the guy from White Castle was on, and watching the burgers, like these little frozen, I don't even know, they look like little frozen Oreo cookies. I was like, man, I can't eat that.
No, I'm very familiar with White Castle. They were all over Jersey when I was growing up. They were actually gray cardboard.
What I'm saying,
it's probably the nastiest meat you'll ever see. It's also the most delicious.
But if you're going on Undercover Boss, it's to promote your store. And I'm like, I didn't need to say
right.
That.
Yeah. No, they store the hamburger patties prior to cooking like they're vinyl records. They're like in one of those library cabinets, the library card cabinet. You pull out and it's like, let me see. Oh, here's the burger.
All right. If you ever make it up to Canada, there's a great chain out there that's been around forever. It's called Harvey's. And that, to me, you know, I know there's a lot of trendy boutique burger joints now, but a good Harvey's burger, pretty tough to beat. And I've had burgers all over the world.
Yeah, so. I'd take a hot dog before a hamburger, usually, on 99% of the occasions. But Harvey's, huh? All right, we'll keep it in mind. I also, we're in Indiana for bridal shower number 3. And two extended parties on top of that. So on Sunday, we were meeting with a lot of Cougars high school friends, and it was a party, so these people could, you know, say hello, congratulate, blah, 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 and you're not invited to the wedding. But I didn't know the end part, that you're not invited to the wedding, so I went to every single person I talked to at the end of the conversation. I was like, all right, look forward to seeing you at the wedding. So now they have like about 50 more people who are like, wait, what do you mean? We're not invited.
So are you telling me the Cougar's originally from Indiana?
She is, yes.
You're marrying a Hoosier.
Yeah, well, that's what I say to her when I take her into the bedroom. Who's your daddy?
The Hoosier Cougar.
It never gets old.
That's awesome.
Who's your valet? I was doing that literally all weekend.
You didn't realize this, but in the intro, we were plugging actually your wedding, and if she's going to wear white to the wedding, what color are you going to wear in your leisure suit, you know? We settled on Devil's Dandruff White.
I think, yeah, exactly. I think the tuxedo t-shirt only comes in one color, but I'll check.
Hey, let's talk a little baseball.
You realize you're invited, right? You're going to have to you'll have to do a podcast straight from the wedding.
Could you imagine that? Could you imagine me, like, you know, interviewing people, guests live, you know? What was Gray like as a bambino?
You would have to get my grandfather on there. He's a goddamn hoot. Oh, man. All right, yeah, let's talk baseball.
So the trade deadline's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, have you ever made, because what I try and do every year, because I play in a lot of keepers, so I'm not afraid to move a really big prospect, maybe a couple draft picks or draft dollars, to get what I need to help me finish off the season. And I've had a lot of success doing that over the years, but I don't play in the caliber of leagues, although I'm first in the RCL Champions League right now.
Nice.
Any big deadline deals?
Yeah, I actually do probably. I might be the one trading to you because a lot of my deadline deals have gone sour pretty poorly. I have a few that stick out of my head. About 4 years ago, I traded Prince Fielder as a rookie for a veteran pitcher by the name of Brett Myers. That might have been my worst trade, but I've had a few. I traded a rookie Ryan Braun for a young upstart named Placido Polanco.
Are you serious?
I swear to God, I made some of the, in my keeper league, because I'm always trying to win for that year, and I'm not really looking forward to next year or the year after or where they could be. So I'm always really looking for to seal the deal for that season. So in my keeper league, I've traded on just the last probably 5 years. I've traded Ryan Braun, Prince Fielder, Hanley Ramirez, and Jose Reyes, and I'm in an NL only league.
Oh my god!
So I've traded like 4 or 5 of the top 7 guys in the last 5 years.
See, that's interesting. So here's a deal I just did this week. I needed pitching. I was way behind in innings, so I traded Jurickson Profar, as well as a third round pick. So you keep 7 keepers in this league. So I gave up a third and Profar. I picked up Shelby Miller, Homer Bailey, and Jordan Zimmerman because I just needed, you know, an extra couple hundred innings.
You didn't even. I don't think you're. That's a solid. Yeah, that's a solid trade by a long stretch. I don't think you really even traded away that much. Rookie for that serious of a veteran sort of influx. You have a lot of youth coming in as well. So I think that's a solid trade. It's not like the guy.
Well, but I won't trade any of those pitchers. Sorry, I won't keep any of those pitchers. There's no chance I keep pitchers
going
into next year.
Okay, I don't know. Shelby Miller for this year seems kind of like a wash with a lot of people who you can get a lot cheaper. Jordan Zimmerman, I was saying to sell on the site. It depends on the depth of your league and how badly you need. But I don't have a huge faith in Zimmerman being a number one the rest of this year. But he's probably a solid 2-3. And the other pitcher was who?
Homer Bailey.
Homer Bailey. Yeah, Homer Bailey's another. You got good depth for who you trade away. So,
and like I said,
if it gets you the win, I'm not against it.
Yeah, and another offer I had out. I offered Profar to a guy in last place for Price, David Price, hoping he might rebound. So, I didn't get the stud, but I got, 3 guys who'll soak up innings, and that's what I need. I need to catch up in innings.
Right. Yeah, my Prince trade from earlier this season, you probably don't remember, but I traded Prince right before he got injured for, I traded Manny Machado for Prince right before Prince got injured, which looked like a slam dunk, terrible trade on my part, 2 months ago. But he's bounced back since the beginning of July. I think Price has been, you know, he's been at best the top five pitcher in the league so far. I mean, in the last 2 months.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's it's an interesting time of year because I'm always, you know, if I'm guilty of anything, I'm guilty, especially in keeper leagues, of holding on to too many young players in one league. I'm holding on to Oscar Tavares, and he's just untradeable. But at the same time, if I'm close, I'll peel off one of those guys, and if I really think it can get me the title, you know.
So. I put myself in a huge hole in my keeper just about every year. But I also find that there's a lot of guys. Like, Oscar Tavares was available in this year's draft, you know. So my keeper is, you know, it's NL only. It's fairly deep, but it's still, there's guys that come up, and you can still get the crazy rookie guy out of nowhere for each year if you're, or if you have some, you know, insight into what's going on with the minor league guys. I think, like Shelby Miller, I drafted this year in my NL only keeper. And I don't think he was that much. I think I paid maybe like $8 for him, which is, that's a solid price next year.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, too, if you do have prospect questions, because most trade deadlines tend to be mid-August for fantasy baseball, tweet with my man Scott_Rasball, the prospect whisperer. He's the guy you want to talk to if you have any questions on that.
Yeah, he's going to probably be doing a lot of stuff coming up with the rosters expanding too. We're gonna get right after the trading deadline. The next big deadline will be the rosters expanding, and we'll be getting a lot of rookies coming up and seeing what they have going in 2014.
Yeah, absolutely, no question. So let's talk about a trade that happened this week. It kind of got overshadowed with all the whatever stuff. But Matt Garza gets traded to Texas.
That's my Biogenesis is my favorite Genesis cover band, by the way.
So Matt Garza gets traded to Texas, which is, you know, interesting. If you have Matt Garza, it's he goes from not a great park to not a great park.
I like how you said it. It's interesting if you have Matt Garza, and then the next logical sentence is, if you don't have Matt Garza, it's really not that interesting.
Well, here's who I actually want to talk about in the trade, because I know there was a couple prospects that went Chicago's way, but Mike Ault was kind of a throw-in in the deal. He's been hitting in the low 200s in the Pacific Coast League, which is a big hitter's park. I was curious what you thought about Mike Ault. Is there something with these Texas hitting prospects? You know, Justin Smoke went to Seattle and was a bust. Mike Ault has not hit well this year. So I'm just curious what you think.
You're skipping over the big one that they gave away. Texas seems like they really hate corner infield prospects. I don't know why, but they gave away Chris Davis as well.
But everyone soured on Chris Davis because he had that initial amazing second half of the season as a rookie, and then the next 3 years, you could see the holes in his swings from the bleachers.
Right. Yeah, and he's still a hacker, too. But I think in Arlington, Smoke and Ault both would have played. I think Smoke is he's hindered a lot by Safeco, and he's really probably as good, if not better, than Moreland. But he just never got the chance in Texas. I don't understand their fascination with Moreland. He's actually, it wouldn't be a bad person to like, get someone on from like a huge Texas fan or a Texas Ranger blogger to explain why they keep getting rid of their corner men. I think Ault is someone who could be Chris Davis easily. He's another hacker. He's hacking way too much to possibly, you know, be anywhere near ready for the major leagues. He'll probably get a chance in September, but I think his strikeout rate is over 30% right now in the minor leagues. So you're talking about a guy who strikes out one in three times. That's you can't do that in the major leagues without having, very few people have ever succeeded with that 30 K rate. And they're, in the last 100 years, there are 5 of them. So there's not, it's not, there's really, there's no margin of error there. I think Olds has been in the past better and can still be. He's still young. I think there's a serious, I think he had a problem with his eyes. He was seeing, he had cloudy vision
right.
or something. And there's probably a good chance he is in, he's the third baseman to start the year next year for the Cubs. And he's someone I would definitely look to grab off of waivers in NL only or crazy deep mix keepers for next year. I wouldn't be surprised if I, at some point, if January or February, Gray writes a sleeper post about him. Either.
No, I could see that. Absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. And just an aside, do you think the Rangers window has closed?
It's an interesting question, because I was thinking that when I was in Indiana, because obviously I had nothing else to do. So I was like, didn't they just trade for Garza? Why all of a sudden are they now selling players? I was really confused, because I saw these trade rumors about them, you know, sending people elsewhere, and I was like, they just traded for Garza. I don't see what's going on with that organization. And more specifically to your question, I think their window has sort of passed, and now they're probably better off looking more towards a Profer or seeing what they can get for a Kinsler or a Beltre or Andrews I think they're actually in a bad position right now. They're like sort of the 2004 Yankees, where you're looking at a team that's getting old and doesn't really have, you know, they need to start looking for the future. Otherwise, they're going to forget their past. I think that's lyrics for a song, actually.
I'm sure it's been lyrics for many a song. But the lineup has really gotten weak. I know Hamilton's been terrible in LA, but he, you know, with him gone, with Cruz not hitting as well this year, I don't know. That Rangers team looks so stacked for the foreseeable future, and they had a really deep farm system. But now it's, I don't know, it's going to be an interesting situation.
Well, Cruz has been good this year,
right? But I'm anticipating a suspension.
Oh, yeah. But he did get a lot of for the time he played, he could have easily been Braun and played terribly while he was not suspended. So at least he got something out there. I think the bigger question is, you know, after Andrews, what do they get for Andrews? And after him, does Profer step in and immediately excel? And if he does, then they can get, you know, maybe they get an arm for Andrews, or if they just, they need to, also Nathan being older, I wouldn't be surprised if he was the one who just, you know, they just need a little bit, well, they have Soria, but I don't know, it's just, it's a tough team to peg, really, for which way they're going at any particular time.
But a top three rotation of Darvish, Garza, and Derek Holland, who's really emerged this year, and I don't think has gotten the publicity. That he deserves.
Right. Yeah, no, Darvish is an ace. He's, you know, a top 5 to 10 pitcher in the major leagues. Like, he's definitely an anchor for the staff. Holland has emerged. I think Holland's as good as any number two in that division. And Garza is easily one of the best threes, if you're putting him as three and Holland as two. I mean, I can see him flip-flopping them. But, yeah, their pitching staff in a short series isn't terrible. I just don't know if they have – they don't seem like they have the legs to get there. And if they fall short, then next year, you know, it's like each – it's the ticking clock of, well, the Rangers have to win now, otherwise – what the hell are we doing with this organization? They can't go and, you know, it's not like they're like, okay, if we come in second this year, it's okay, because next year we're going to be even better. No.
Right.
If anything, they're not going to be better next year.
One more guy I want to ask you about. Hanley Ramirez has been hot as a pistol this year. I mean, he's looked really good. I don't think he'll ever come back not even close to what he was 5 or 6 years ago. But what is Hanley Ramirez today? Because he is, I think he's still only 29.
He is 29 years old. Well, right now his luck is through the roof. He's not anywhere near a 380 hitter. He's not even really a 300 hitter. I would say right now to the end of the season, if he hit 280, that would be terrific. At any point, a player can hit and get a crazy average for a month or two. It doesn't mean that they are kind of a hitter. I think the bigger thing that is really surprising is the homers. His power looks better than it's looked in the last 4 years. That also is his homers per fly ball is through the roof, well, literally, and it's above anywhere it's been in his career. Not just like in the last couple of years. He hasn't ever hit homers at his entire career. So you're saying at 29, he's having not only a revival, but he's above where he's ever been, and that seems pretty far-fetched. So can someone do something like this for a month, 2 months, 3 months? Sure. It's not. I don't think this is what he is now. And going into, we're in the second half, but going into even next year, he's not someone I would say, okay, yeah, he's going to be a 30 homer, 20 steal guy again while hitting 30.
No, that's fair. Great. I got to tell you, it was great chatting with you today. I missed you because we didn't have you on for 2 weeks with the hiatus, and last week I had to travel.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I went to Vegas during the All-Star break. Woo!
Well, that we talked about, because we talked about Karnick getting a lap dance, I thought.
Oh, yeah. No, I think we talked about that just me and you.
Oh, okay.
Without the podcast listening.
We got to start giving shout-outs to the commentators.
Love me. Love me, my commentators. Yep. All right. Cool, Nikki.
Great. We'll talk to you next week, buddy.
All right. I'll talk to you.
It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast.